Welcome to the Art of Advisory. My name is Kirk Bowman from Art of Value. With me is Hector Garcia from Quick Bookkeeping. Hey, Hector.
Hey, bud. How are you? Off to a slow start on a holiday week.
Well, you know, I'm kind of probably not operating at full speed. Kids are out of school. Thanksgiving's later in the week. So I'm probably a little bit slower. So the internet probably is feeling the same way.
That's right. So what you got going on for Thanksgiving?
So we're hosting my wife's family. So today is all about getting the house picked up and cleaned and et cetera. But however, I have found something to help us get into the holiday spirit. And I wish I could show a picture of this. I'll probably, I will take a screenshot of it and maybe share it on my Facebook feed. But anyway, found this in my Facebook feed this morning. It's Grinch t-shirts. So picture, you know, the Grinch, the Jim Carrey Grinch from the movie. The first one says, I hate morning people and mornings and people. The second one, there's four. So the second one, rock, paper, scissors, throat punch, I win. That was my favorite. The next one, I think this is actually, this is the one my kids probably should wear around the house. I'm not arguing. I'm explaining why I'm right. And then the last one, probably my favorite, particularly this time of year, because it unfortunately it applies to more people than I want to admit. I want to be a nice person, but everyone's just so stupid. So there you go. Four Grinch t-shirts to get you in your holiday mood. What's up with you, man?
Well, something funny happened. I don't know if you're familiar with this. I don't know if everybody does it, but there's this thing called the elf on the shelf.
Oh, yes.
You guys do it?
So we used to.
We used to. Okay. Well, we still do it, elf on the shelf. It's not a tradition in my family because it's actually fairly new, I think, to most people. So elf on the shelf is this little elf-looking toy that you magically moves around at night. And the kids, you know, the kids behave bad. He's the one that reports to Santa and they don't get the gifts and that stuff. So I have a nephew who is less than a year old. And my son, who's really funny because he's very literal, very gullible, but also very smart. He goes to my sister-in-law and says, hey, don't get Joaquin an elf on the shelf. He's a snitch. So it's just funny calling the elf on the shelf a snitch.
Man, there are some funny things that people do with the elf on the shelf.
Right. Right. They do. They put him like, they tie him to like place different places in the house. They hold him hostage with other toys. We've done fun things like that. Actually, I find that to be a very cool tradition. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's fun. You know, probably my favorite one that we did personally was the year where, the elf on the shelf was hanging off the second, off the basically the balcony, you know, from the stairs upstairs, he was hanging off there by a shoestring.
Right.
My daughter didn't think that was as funny, but
I know. No, it is. Yeah, I know. one of them, we had a little sign that said, I quit. And my kids were like, what does it mean he quit? What does that mean? We're like, I don't know what that means. You know, Anyway, so we wanted to talk about Thanksgiving just to see if we can be diverse enough to say, can we tie Thanksgiving to advisory at some point, can we, Kirk? Can we pull
that? I think so. I think it's actually very easy because one of the things, if you're going to be an advisor, if you're going to be somebody who actually takes responsibility to some degree for your customer success, which we encourage you to do, we think that's the right way to do business because it encourages you to be authentic, be transparent, develop that personal relationship with them, you have to be thankful for them. You have to be thankful that they chose to work with you. You have to be thankful that they're successful. You have to be thankful that every year they continue to work with you. There's so much to be thankful for there. And I would add that I think just a foundational attitude of thankfulness, I think really is a core tenet of success.
Now, when you say you have to be thankful, are you saying just on your mind or you have to like call them up and say, I'm thankful for you as a customer?
Well, I think the first is required. Okay. If you don't have an attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude for your customers and for their success, then sooner or later, they're going to figure it out. And, you know, it's, they're either not going to do as much business with you or they may not stay with you. But I think the second is really where you have an opportunity to stand out. And, you know, it's probably too late to do it this year, but file this in the column of great ideas for next year. It's very common for your customers to get cards and gifts for Christmas. But what if you sent those same cards and gifts in November, the week before Thanksgiving? It communicates something a little bit different. And you might say, well, it's the same gift. It's the same card you're sending it, you know, maybe a couple of weeks earlier. Why? Because nobody sends them at that time. Nobody sends them the week or two before Thanksgiving. They wait till after Thanksgiving. So what's the message when you send it? Number one, I thought of you and I thought of you in a special way. Two, I'm thankful for you. I'm not just sending you a gift because it's Christmas season and that's what we're supposed to do. And three, it makes you stand out.
And that seems simple enough where, you know, it's not really, it's not a big homework and it's just doing it a couple of weeks earlier. That's really good. Now, do you think that, because in my family, thanks. And my family is a bit more religious than I am. So a bit, probably a lot more since I'm kind of like in the 0 to 0.001 range. So we typically tend to, and my dad or my mom, tend to make a sort of big spiritual speech about, you know, how important, how valuable this is for the family to be together and love each other and all that stuff. So Thanksgiving is kind of like a very sort of feelings type of holiday in my family. Mm-hmm. So is that something that could come wrong in advisory? You know, we're serious professional accountants, we're serious professional bookkeepers. Could crossing into that, I don't know. Could some customers see it the wrong way where, you know, you're getting a bit sentimental with me? I thought this was supposed to be a professional relationship. Just thinking out loud, because I know that automatically you think, no, I mean, that we're human. We're just two human beings doing business with each other. But at the end of the day, most of us do hold back on that portion of it, the personal connection portion of it, because there's something that stops us from doing that. I don't know what you think about that.
So what comes to my mind is something I used to say, and I now have made a 180-degree switch, but I literally, you know, there's an audio recording of me out there on a panel at a conference many years ago, probably about 10 years ago, where somebody asks a question essentially about philanthropy, charity, that kind of thing. And I just proudly stood up there and said, nope, I keep work and my personal life separate. And I now realize that was crazy, you know, and there are reasons why I thought that way. And there's more important reasons why I've changed. But I guess to answer your question, if you have customers who, when you reach out and thank them, they are suspicious of it, then either one of two things, the relationship's not on real good footing, or two, that's probably not a customer you want to keep. I really want, and I used to cringe when I hear other people say this, and I now believe it. I want to work with customers who I would have a beer with, or customer who I'd be willing to, you know, if we're at a conference and they say, hey, let's grab breakfast, you know, before the first session, I'd be willing to do it. I don't want to work with people like you that I like, that I get along with, who laugh, who actually experience life. Part of experiencing life is being thankful.
Now, when you say that some people cringe at you calling them up out of the blue and saying, hey, I'm thankful for you as a customer, as a human being, whatever it is that you're going to say, I don't think the cringe automatically comes from the fact that they're not thankful people or they have negative attitudes. The cringe could come from the change, the fact that they weren't expecting it. And sometimes that's another sort of interesting part of sort of the relationship psyche, that the person could very well welcome that, or could very well like that, or maybe they are themselves like that with their own customers. But the fact that you've never given that signal that you are going to sort of cross that boundary and have this personal connection and say, hey, I'm thankful for you, that may come into a shock. So don't you think that could also be the case?
So I think if I hear you correctly, you're suggesting that basically if we call the customer up to thank them, right? Which there's several ways we could do this, right? We send a card, we send a gift, we can send an email, send a handwritten note, call them up, invite them out for coffee, visit them in person. I mean, there's several ways you could do it. But I think what I'm hearing is if the customer's surprised when you do that, could that have a negative connotation of relationship? At a minimum, is that making them uncomfortable? My thought is I don't want to make my customers feel uncomfortable in a negative way, but I do want to keep surprising my customers. I don't want my customers to be able to predict with 100% certainty what I'm going to do next or how I'm going to do it. I think, and what led me to this was I was thinking about marriage, right? You've been married how long?
11 years.
Okay. And got 4 kids, been married 18, got 2. So, you know, the national average is 7 or less, right? So we've already beat the statistics.
Yes.
Imagine if you never surprised your spouse, if you were 100% predictable, how boring that would be. The best relationships are deep. They're dynamic. They have depth to them. They're rich. And part of the reason is there's always some mystery.
But hold on a second before we get too much into this, because I'm not in disagreement with you, but like we're talking about, for the most part, I'm an accountant and a lot of the people that watch this show are accountants as well. So do clients want this mystery and richness from their accountant, or they want predictability? Because that's something to just kind of give a thought. This industry, it's all about predictability. It's like the one thing that people look for is, I know exactly what's going to happen with this service provider because they told me what they were going to do and they did it. I know exactly what I'm going to pay for taxes. I know exactly what my category should be. You know, I know exactly what the services look like. So I don't know. I'm not trying to be devil's advocate. I'm just trying to understand how I can tie this into like my world.
No, I'm glad you're playing devil's advocate. That's one of the reasons why I love having these conversations, is because we don't always see things the same. And the richness of our conversation comes out of that. By the way, you see what I just did there? I kind of tied our interaction on this show into the topic. Part of the richness of this show comes out of the fact that we don't see things the same. But yet we're both professionals. We're both have the ability to communicate with each other, learn from each other, consider each other's perspectives. And sometimes you've changed my mind on things, or at least influenced it. I can say that with 100% certainty. So I think the same kind of richness that exchange of viewpoints brings to the show, I think it also brings that to your customer relationships. And so I kind of like the idea of, you know, thanking the customer and doing it in a way that kind of catches them off guard. And by the way, I don't think that has any negative on the certainty you were talking about. Yes, I want my accountant to be dependable. I want them to do what they say they're going to do. I want the results that we're expecting from taxes and so forth, you know, to be within the ballpark we plan for. But that has nothing to do with them being a person, at least personal in the relationship.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in agreement with you. I think 100%. I'm just trying to figure out how to get over the fear of the randomness factor of it catching the person by surprise and then me not knowing how to react to it. Like, I'll give you an example. I tend to want to have a really deep relationship with my clients, but I have so many of them, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that I talk to so many people throughout the year that in some cases I don't really have the chance to do it with all of them. Like, I literally give Christmas gifts to a handful of people, probably 5. Yep. People that have been with me for, I mean, we're talking about customers, right? Not family, everybody, my partners, my employees, they all get gifts. But for my customers are the ones that have been with me for like 5 years plus. The ones that asking me about my health or the health of my family. The ones that are, it's a lot more than QuickBooks and taxes, right? The ones that actually care about me, the ones that have asked me about my personal life, that the ones that we had talks about religion and politics with, you know, whether we agree or disagree, the ones that we've gotten to know each other in a personal level, they typically get a Christmas gift from me anywhere between $40 to $100, especially if they're a good client. It's worth it, by the way. Good bottle of scotch, a piece of ham. That's my thing this year. I'm giving people ham. You know, a piece of ham like from Spain, like we bought, like I just had my wife buy it at Costco. This big piece of ham, $100 piece of ham from Spain, Serrano ham. It's a great gift. Good. Normally you would pay $250 for that, and people don't buy expensive ham. That's not what people buy. So I'm surprising someone that way. That's my way of showing being thankful. But anyway, for those people, the ones that have gotten a gift before, the ones that have given me a gift, those they have a certain baseline expectation and they don't feel very surprised by it. But if I were to call a client out of the blue that I never given a gift, that I never thanked them for, and just say, hey, I just want to thank you. We're talking about calling, like emailing doesn't count. I don't think a batch email saying we thank you for your business, I don't think that counts at all. Like to me, that's just nothing. Like anybody can do that. We're talking about either picking up the phone call or writing a handwritten note. So the only ways we can make that interaction personal, I think. So a batch email to everybody saying, you know, this season we're thankful for your business. Nah, that's not what we're talking about. Right, Kirk? We're talking about handwritten note or a phone call, correct? Or gift.
I agree with you and I disagree with you. So first of all, you're right. Sending a batch email is very easy. But yet it's so easy, but so few people do it. I think a batch email versus nothing is better. Now, I think you take that to the next degree and you kind of hinted on this, right? There's only certain
a batch email that is personalized or non-personalized at all.
Well, define personalized. I mean, a personalized email is the one that says, hello, Hector. I just personalized it. I put your name in email.
That's not personalized enough. Like if I send you a batch email that you know it wasn't sent to you, it was like a MailChimp campaign or custom contact campaign. And it says, hey, Kirk, we're thankful for our relationship. How much of the needle that moves?
Well, so I think you made a good point. The degree, you know, how much positive impact saying thank you has on the relationship, I think there's a direct correlation between how you do it and the perceived value to the customer, right? So an email saying thank you is potentially valuable. Some customers will appreciate it. Others won't even notice it because it went in their spam box. But a phone call, yeah, that took more sacrifice on your part. So there's more. That's more valuable to the customer. A handwritten note. Who sends handwritten notes anymore? By the way, I don't want to be too critical. If you find a way to be able to express more personalized thank you to your customers, and you use some type of service or tool to make it easier, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. So for example, handwritten notes, there are services out there that you can pay to send handwritten notes. You can literally type it up. You know, the customer's not going to know the difference. And it's all about perceived value. And if the perceived value of a note that was done through a service is similar to you sitting down and actually doing it, I'd say go for it. Right? So that's kind of my opinion. Now, one thing you mentioned a second ago, you talked about, you know, you only get expensive gifts for a few. And I would agree. I think one of the core concepts or principles of running a value-based business model is we segment our customers. We think of them in at least A, B, and C categories, right? Or first class, business class, coach. The idea that some customers are better than others. You know, there's an axiom out there that has been proven that generally 80% of the profits come from 20% of your customers. You better be saying thank you to that 20%. I mean, if you don't say anything to the other 80%, that's fine. Okay. That you can do that, but you better be saying thank you to the 20%. I just hit a lot of things in that diatribe. What are your thoughts?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. So have you done anything creative to say thank you beyond just an email? Like what have you done in the past, or what have you heard of people doing?
So one of the things that I've done in the past, and it's something that I always got extremely positive feedback on. I don't know if you're familiar with a company called Sherry's Berries. They specialize in strawberries dipped in chocolate. And you normally think of those at Valentine's Day. We would send them at Christmas. And, you know, small customers might get a dozen. Bigger customers might get two or three dozen. We always got positive feedback on that. Because number one, it's something unique. Number two, it's something people really enjoy. Number three, very few people think of chocolate dipped strawberries at Christmas. So not only are we saying thank you, but we were very intentional about doing it in a way that would surprise, that would help us stand out to them. And by doing that, by the gift being unique and by it standing out, what that communicated to the customer was, you stand out in my mind, meaning the customer stands out in my mind.
Okay. So the central theme of everything we've talked about is the surprise factor is a good thing. If anything, the surprise factor probably is the one thing that jumps out, and there should be nothing negative with just grabbing the phone, calling up your customer and thanking them for their business. Now, do you use a different word other than thanks? I mean, I don't know if we want to get too deep into this, but are there other alternatives to just saying thanks?
So first of all, let's dig as deep as we want to go. I have no issue with that at all, of going deep, because I think this is a very important concept. I think if we're more thankful and more grateful in general, whether it's with customers or with family, things just go better, because being thankful puts you in a mindset of thinking about others rather than about yourself. So your question was, sorry, what was your question?
Okay. Yeah. So to comment to that, yes. So we probably, let's park that and talk about the importance of being thankful in general, but that's a different issue. The question was, when we thank someone, is saying thank you the only way to do it? Are there other ways, or like, is there any other words that you've used?
Vocabulary.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the things I learned from my mentor in class was that all change is linguistic, meaning any positive or even negative change starts with the words you choose. And so, yes, I think saying thank you, those are two powerful words. How else can you say it? I appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. You know, I'd never done this, but this would actually be a good exercise. Go put thank you into an online thesaurus and see what other synonyms there are for it. You know, since you know multiple languages, you know, you could actually send a card. You know, you could go, here's an idea. You go online, custom design a card, and have it say thank you in about six different languages, right? You do it in English, do it in Spanish, French, etc., right? There's something unique.
Yep. Yeah, thank you in the thesaurus. Well, I guess that's the description. But the synonyms, actually, there isn't that many. There is thanks, much obliged. There's not that many. Appreciate. I would have thought there would be a lot more. Maybe I'm searching in the wrong thesaurus, but
much obliged. That is very.
That's a strange one. I never used that one.
Well, it's very. I describe it as old English. Just this, you know, you don't hear. You know, it's almost like the kind of the King James version of saying thank you. You know, referred to the King James Bible, just kind of that old. You know, thy and thus and everything like that.
In Portuguese, it's very interesting. In Portuguese, when you say thank you, you say obrigado, which means I'm obligated to you, which is actually kind of interesting. It means I'm obligated to you, or I owe you one. That's really what it means. So it's kind of like obliged. I don't know if obliged means I'm in debt to you or I owe you one, I think.
Okay, so this is interesting. I just went to thesaurus.com, put in thank you. You know, we were talking about other languages. There's only five words listed as direct synonyms. Three of them are other languages: gracias, merci, and danke.
Right. Danke. That's German.
Yeah. But it's interesting. There's another section below it that says words related. Acknowledgement. this one makes me laugh. Junk mail.
I think that website is, I saw the same website. I think it's not a good one to use.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, the point is, you know, how can you be creative with this? We come up with a lot of different ideas, right? Using foreign language, using synonyms, all the different ways you communicate, the different gifts you can send, how you send it, when you send it. So, you know what we just did? We just did options for saying thank you.
Oh, there you go.
We eat our own dog food.
Yeah.
Our own dog food.
That's good. That's actually good. You know, that, going back to the word obliged or obrigado in Portuguese, if thank you means I owe you one, right? If that's what it means, I owe you one, right? Because that's kind of like what obliged means. I'm obligated to you, or I've, you know, you've given me one and I've, you know, like it's balls on my court. I have to send it back to you. And then I think both of us would agree that it shouldn't be about counting them, right? Because
it's not scorekeeping.
Right. We're both married and we know that scorekeeping never works.
Wait. Don't confuse marriage. Don't bring marriage. Scorekeeping in marriage works. I'm joking.
No. It doesn't matter. Like,
you're right. It doesn't. I was just. Right.
No, so. Absolutely does. Okay. But in relationships and in friendships, scorekeeping never works, but it's always there. You know, like I think it's at the back of people's heads all the time, unless you're like a very elevated human being that doesn't remember how much more you did for that person than it did for you. So most of us would like to take pride to say we don't score keep. And, you know, we do this really because we're thankful. But over the long term, if the other person doesn't reciprocate, it starts creeping up in the back of our minds. Don't you think?
Well, potentially. I mean, I think the relationships that we're most naturally drawn to are those where there's not scorekeeping, but where there is mutual appreciation. I think you're right. I think going back to marriage, right? If I said thank you to my wife all the time and she never said it to me, yeah, there would be a vacuum there, a debt, a sense that builds up over time. It needs to go both ways. But I think we have to remember in business, how does the customer say thank you to us? By paying us.
By writing.
That's how they say thank you. So I'd say that's one area where, you know, the kind of the personal, the marriage side doesn't quite translate to business because.
Kirk, there's more than one way that people think that customers thank us. Okay. One of them is paying us in general. Two is paying us on time, right? The clients show appreciation by prioritizing their bills and paying you first. And I think that's really a big deal. And I got to tell you, all those five customers I give gifts to, they do that. They actually come back to me and says, you haven't invoiced me. And that's, even though that's not thank you, that is a really strong way of telling them that you appreciate them. And I for people that, for example, I bought my house about a year and a half ago and I found a really good contractor. I really fell in love with, you know, everything that he was offering. And I was afraid that he would get busy and do something else. I wrote him the check right away, paid him the whole thing up front. Tell him, you know, here's my cell phone, call me anytime. I'll cancel an appointment to come see you. Just showing priority and showing attention and showing that you're available for them first before everything else is one indirect way of showing appreciation, which works both ways. When customers pay you on time, remind you to send them the invoices. And you can tell that they're paying you first because you are on top of the list as a provider. And when they do that, I think you have to reciprocate by also somehow showing that you're doing their work first, you're prioritizing them first, that you're answering their phone calls first, answering the emails first. So sometimes the reciprocation, is that the right word? The response is not like-kind. It's not the exact same way, but it can show the same amount of valuable appreciation in different ways. So sometimes we have to be cognizant of how customers are thanking us without just just writing a check is not the only way they do it. Other way that they thank us quite a bit is by referring business, right? Like, you know, I called my cousin and told him to go work with you. I have a friend that asked me to buy an accountant and I told him to work with you. And sometimes we have to make sure that we respond to that with a very sincere and resounding thank you. Like, thank you. You know, when you refer me clients, that's really, really good for me. Because if you don't thank people or recognize somebody's effort, which is another way of thanking them, you may, that behavior may stop happening. So sometimes thank you goes a much longer way than just, you know, just showing your appreciation. Sometimes it's what people want. Sometimes that's all they want for their effort.
You know, it's interesting as you were talking about the customer paying your bill. Okay. And I'm intentionally using the word bill because in my mind, a bill goes out after work is done, an invoice goes out before work is done. Meaning, you know, and so in my business and the way I teach practicing value pricing, one of the things is we get paid up front at least half. And most of the time in my business, I get paid 100% up front. And most businesses that way, right? I mean, you go to Walmart, you put stuff in your cart, you don't get to walk out the door with it until you've already paid for it, right? This idea of being paid in advance. So yeah, if your business model or the way you operate is one where the customer pays you after the fact, or at least a portion, then certainly how timely they pay those bills is one of the ways they express appreciation. But I would also note that, at least for me, that never would have occurred to me because the way I operate my business, my customers always pay me.
But how would you relate that to being thankful when it is a minimum requirement that people pay you up front? Because there's a difference.
That's my point. In my business, the customer paying me really, you know, when they pay me, I can't equate that with them being thankful. I mean, I can equate it with them choosing me and being willing to sign on the dotted line and pay me 100% up front before we start. That level of trust, I can be thankful for that. I can certainly be thankful for the level of trust and the fact that they'll engage me, but I can't, the same way you're thankful that if you send out an invoice after work's done and a customer pays it in a timely manner, I don't have that opportunity. That's really all my point. I wasn't trying to dive off deep into that, but that was kind of where I was going, maybe sort of.
My point was.
Oh, you had one. Sorry.
I was trying to make a point, but my point was, and actually, hold on a second. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear, yeah, unfortunately.
My point was that sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes our customers have the chance to show us appreciation by paying us ahead of time. But sometimes it's a condition of the work. My point, a question was, if you're making it a condition of the work, is that payment appreciation, or is that payment a sign of thank you, or would that automatically disqualify?
I don't know. I think it, you know, gets into potato a little bit. But what I would say is, you know, like in my case, I know it is, you know, what the customer does give me in a way that I think is that I'm thankful for is their trust when they engage me. When the customer knows that to work with me, that part of the deal is you pay up front, and you know, they're in my business, you know, they're typically paying thousands of dollars up front. To me, that is one way they're saying thank you.
Actually, anyway,
I feel like we jumped down a rabbit hole on that one.
We did, but I did like what you just said, because I like the word trust a lot, and as a matter of fact, trust is one of the, like in my, our company, we were trying to figure out what is a word that defines us as a business. And we decided as a team that there were two words that define us. One is trust and the other one's value. So we always look for ways to recognize where there is trust, where one or any of our actions increases or decreases trust, where we provide value, and which of our actions create value for our customers. And as a team, we recognize that. But one of the things that I don't hear people say often, and I should say it often myself now that I'm premising it to be a core value of my business, is thanking someone for their trust. You know, like I don't hear thank you for your trust or thank you for placing trust in us. You know, is that something you want to discuss? I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. Can you thank someone for their trust?
You can. I do. I don't do it regularly, but I have done it. You know, I do it at certain times. I can think of one time I've done it recently, right? I just spoke at QBC, and this was the first year where I had a solo session at QBC. And I reached out to my contacts at Intuit afterwards, and I said, hey, thank you for the trust you put in me for letting me get up in front of your customers, right? So yeah, there are times where you can say thank you for that trust. I think timing is important. You know, if you just do it out of the blue, it's, you know, a little more random. But, you know, if you do it at the right time, right after the customer's done it, yeah, I think it has tremendous value. And I think one of the things, maybe the thing we should be most thankful for is our customer's trust. Because trust is hard to gain and easy to lose. And it is not something that people give up. People part with their trust more reluctantly than they do with their money. You know, we've heard this marketing phrase, know, like, trust. You know, it's one thing to know who you are. I might know who you are, but there's no guarantee I'm going to like you. And then even if I like you, there's no guarantee I'm going to put my trust in you. And so when a customer's gone through all three of those stages with us, it's a big deal. They have given us a lot in the intangible category of the relationship. And so, yeah, the more I think about it, I think maybe saying thank you for trust may be one of the most important things we can say.
Now, if I was going to be a devil's advocate, which I'm not, but I am being for this exercise, a lot of people would say that, well, you know, I earned the trust, so why should I be thankful for it? I mean, wasn't that going to be a reaction from a lot of folks?
Well, I don't think you can earn trust, okay? Trust is given, not earned, okay? You cannot earn my trust. You can do all you want, and if I don't give it to you, you don't get it. Now, can your actions influence whether I choose to give you my trust? Certainly. Consistency is one of the biggest things that has an impact on trust. But bottom line, I don't, and I've used it, and I, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm almost having a moment here. You know, I tell people not to say thank you for your time. It's interesting that we're talking about giving thanks. One of the things you should never say thank you for is time. Okay. Because time is not valuable. It's irrelevant. What's valuable is the outcome or the knowledge, you know, that you gain from that.
What about thank you for your attention? Because I think when people say time, a lot of times they're not saying thank you for transferring your time over to me. Because that's what you're saying. You can't transfer time. It doesn't have value. But sometimes people say things, but they mean something else, right? Thank you for your time may mean thank you for paying undivided attention to me in the last hour or so. Isn't that more what people end up meaning when they say thank you for your time?
Yeah, it probably is. But then, you know, in my mind, let's say what we mean. You know, let's say thank you for your attention. But anyway, I'm getting, the further down the rabbit hole.
Hold on a second. I do want to go down the rabbit hole, if you don't mind. So I had this issue with my wife a couple of days ago where we were trying to figure out which Target to go to, I think it was. And I asked her, hey, find out which Target is closer. And she went into Maps and she found out the one that was closer. One was 9.1 miles versus 9.7 miles. And she tells me the one in Pembroke Pines is closer. But I know that one in particular was a lot of non-highway, right? So I'm like, how can that one be closer? It's impossible. It's like, and she's like, look, it's 9.1 miles versus 9.7 miles. I answered your question. This one's closer. And I said, but that's not what I was asking. My question was, which one can I get to faster? You know, which one will, and at that moment, we had this little moment when I said, you know what? I asked the question. It was very clear. And you answered it. It was very clear. And you answered the question that I asked. So there should have been no consternation in that conversation. But the challenge was that I didn't ask the right question. I didn't use the right words, even though I meant to say something else. You know, I should have asked, hey, which one's, I mean, closer. That's the thing. I said, which one's closer, you know, like, let me ask you a question. If I ask you for two places, which one's closer? Would you tell me the diameter distance, or would you tell me which one you can get to faster? You know, so, and that's the challenge. It was my fault for using the wrong words, but that's what happens. Sometimes you make assumptions about what people understand from what you mean.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we came back to what I said a few minutes ago about all changes in linguistic, right? The words we choose matter, and the words we choose impact how successful or not communication is. So one of the things we can be thankful for is customers who communicate clearly, right? That's one of the things we can be thankful for. By the way, the other thing that caught me was, you know, we live in such a great country, you know, two targets within 10 miles. There are countries in the world where anything like Target doesn't exist. I mean, there is so much to be thankful for, right? All right, tangent over. But just...
There's actually three. There was one north, but we didn't want to go north. We were going south. But yes, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. So I hear what you're saying. You know, my first reaction when you asked me the question, how I would have answered the question you asked your wife, at first I was like, well, of course I wouldn't have done it based on miles. And then I had a second thought. I'm like, wait, we live in a huge metropolitan area too. We don't measure things by miles. We measure by minutes, and the minutes can change based on traffic. In fact, usually what I say to my wife is, hey, would you look at traffic on the direction I'm thinking about going? That's what I'm usually asking her to do.
Yeah. What we're really asking is, which one's going to take us the least amount of time for us to run our errand and come back?
Yeah.
But we say which one's closer, but that, you know, and I want to somehow justify the digression of that. So I'm gonna try to do that. When we thank someone for their time, you know, if what we're really trying to thank them for is something else, let's replace the word thank you for your time for whatever that something else that you're really thanking for.
And I would agree.
Yeah. And for example, let's say that I'll give you an example. I had to go to the IRS office and solve an issue for a customer. And that's downtown Miami, which is, you know, I never voluntarily go there unless they're giving free money, you know? So I went all the way to downtown Miami, all the way to the IRS office. I could have gone to an office closer to my house, but the customer lived closer to Miami. So it was like an hour and 45 minutes to get there, an hour to get back. And at the end, we were all done. And I will bill the client for this, by the way, but the client thanked me for my time. How do I interpret that any other way? Because the client's recognizing the fact that I didn't take the road less traveled. I accommodated to them, but that accommodation shaved off more time off my day than anything else. So my customer is thanking me for my time. How do I interpret that differently? Or what are they really thanking me for?
Well, I mean, obviously you wouldn't correct the customer's language, you know, although occasionally I have it, but it depends on the relationship. There have been times like on my podcast where, you know, we'll be having a conversation. We get to the end and somebody say, thank you for your time. Or I hear this a lot when I'm a guest on somebody else's podcast. Thank you for your time. And I'll say, look, you're welcome. But just because I think time is not valuable, let me just say, I never say thank you for your time. What I say is say thank you for your knowledge or thank you for your attention. And I know what you mean, you know, so it's interesting. Sometimes depending on the situation, I'll actually throw that out there.
Throw what out there? Sorry.
Throw the idea out there. When somebody says thank you for your time to me, I will, you know, if the relationship's good, I will say, as I said, you know, you're welcome. However, in the future, you know, I have stopped saying thank you for your time. And so
you're just giving somebody fun fact about the way I thank people
I think of it more as a fun fact.
It's a fun fact.
I think it's actually valuable information. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's what you're like telling me.
The big question is, do people like being corrected? You know, that's...
Well, I would say when I've done it, so when I've done it, it's been somebody I have a real good relationship with, and I don't put it in the context probably, and I think I use that word. So again, all language matters, right? I should have said correction. I don't word it as in it's correction. I word it as in, hey, let me share something with you, you know?
Now, what's interesting with thank you for your knowledge, and this all ties to like the stuff that we talk about all the time. When you spend an hour with someone going through, I don't know, some tax rules. Somebody says, hey, sit down with me and can explain to me the tax rules to see. At the end of the day, they're going to thank me for my knowledge, because that's really what they went there to get. They didn't went to spend an hour with me. They went there to get their questions answered. So in exchange, they're really paying for knowledge. They'll say thank you for your knowledge if they don't say thank you for your time, because I was there. But what if I wrote an article or did a video, and you have hundreds, or if not hundreds of thousands of people that watch the video and don't say thank you for your knowledge or thank you for your time? Does that mean they're not being thankful? I mean, just to throw it out there, like they're just because people don't use the right words, there's other ways that they can be thankful. And they could get a knowledge transfer, right? I actually had a person in YouTube that literally their comment said, thank you for your knowledge transfer. I mean, that was kind of sophisticated way of
that's somebody who's been listening.
That's someone who's been listening, right? Like I said, thank you for your knowledge transfer. I don't even know where I was going with this. The point is that
probably nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Nowhere. The point was that not everybody has the precise words of what to say. And there may be an opportunity to say, hey, you know, let me chime in on, you know, let's summarize what we talked about. Because sometimes people are thankful and they don't know why. So I don't think it would be very righteous to come back and say, let's do a summary of what we talked about. This is the knowledge that we transferred. This is what we achieved from this. I think sometimes you have to prompt the thank you. Or what do you, let me just throw that out there. What do you think about prompting the thank you? Like the meeting's over, it's gone, the client saying, okay, and it's out the door. Should you prompt the thank you? Should you say, hey, hold on, let's summarize what we talked about and kind of prompt it? I mean, is that something that we should do, or could it be helpful to do that?
So it's interesting. When you said that, what occurred to me was, and this could be a topic for another show, but one of the things that I experimented with a few years ago was doing a value statement, where once a quarter we would actually communicate to the customer, sometimes via an online meeting, sometimes via email, hey, here's everything that we've accomplished over the last 90 days, type of thing. And you know, it's interesting as you mentioned that, because that one of the reasons we were doing that was to help raise awareness on the customer's aspect of the value we were creating.
That's right. Yeah, that makes sense. So to wrap things up, Kirk, I am thankful for your level of commitment to have structured conversations with me in a weekly basis, debate, agree, and disagree, for the pursuit of knowledge and self-improvement. I'm thankful for that.
Well, I'm grateful for you too, Hector, primarily because you're willing to have what I think are unstructured conversations, meaning, you know, we typically, sometimes we'll pick a topic a day before, sometimes we literally show up and pick a topic 2 minutes before.
Like
but
now.
I think that's like actually one of the, yeah, like now. Well, no, in all fairness, you suggested this topic a week ago. But the idea that we're confident enough in each other, and I think part of this is the level of trust we have in each other, and I am thankful for your trust, that we can throw a topic out there and just go back and forth and realize in 45, 50 minutes, it's not all going to be good content, but there's going to be enough of it that is good that we're willing to keep doing it. So I've enjoyed this. You know what? Have we reached a year yet? Have we reached our anniversary on this thing yet?
Not yet. January 8th, I think it was our first one.
We got a celebration. We got a birthday. Yeah,
with that. So I'll leave a message and a challenge to all the viewers. Hopefully the ones that watch before Thanksgiving, you know, just try to be as intentional as possible about what you're thanking for. Sometimes when you have clarity around what you're thanking for, you come to realize that what you're thanking for is a lot more powerful than just the words. And a lot of times when you think about relationships and how inefficient relationships are all year long, but how effective they are at getting stuff done. You know, think about, you know, friends that you've been with friends for years, and how one or two words evokes, you know, feelings from 10 years ago, or create a joke, you know, because you have this history and knowledge and experiences between each other. Think about your customers, in which you can, there are customers that you can grab by the hand and say, trust me, let's just do it like this and move on. And the customers say, okay. And other customers require you to require a 500 page essay explaining on why you want to go in that direction. So sometimes little things like relationships, understandings between each other, things that feel very inefficient over a long term are very effective when it comes down to making the actions meaningful. So try to be thankful for that as much as possible as an exercise that I will do this Thanksgiving.
I accept your challenge and I'm grateful for you, my friend.
Mike Kirk, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.